God is on the move throughout North America. And at Send Network, we believe He's just getting started. Across the continent, cities are being engaged, disciples are being made, churches are being planted, and lives are being transformed by the power of the gospel. But we're believing God for more. More churches, more lives changed, and more faithful Jesus followers stepping into the mission. It's going to take all of us, the whole family, for the whole mission to see God's kingdom expand by 1% in the next decade. We believe when God's people come together and desperately seek Him, He shows up. And when He shows up, He moves us towards His purposes. Jesus' final words were clear: go and make disciples. Church planting is central to that call. And every church, every pastor, and every Jesus follower has a role to play. Let's step out in faith, trusting that God wants to do more in us and through us than we could ever imagine.
Well, so excited to be a part of the Send Network all these years and to think about what God's going to continually do. I'm going to share a little bit more about that later in my message. But is anyone excited to be at church today? Come on. So good to see you all. And for those of you watching online, we're so glad that you're here. We've been going through a series through the book of Romans. And today we're going to be at the last half of Romans 15. And then guess what? Next week, we're closing up shop on Romans. All the way from Easter Sunday, we've been going through Romans, I think five different series, and so we're going to land the plane next week on Romans. Today's going to be a little bit different as this is our extra mile commitment Sunday, and so I'm not going to be going verse by verse through the last part of chapter 15. So give me some grace on that. But if this is your first time, we hope it won't be your last time. We have this thing called the 3-week challenge because it's hard to figure out this place if you just come once. And today is obviously a little bit different too, because every year at our church, we get excited about going the extra mile. It's our giving initiative to go above and beyond our normal giving. So I'm going to explain all that. And so if you're new, you might be like, what the heck? It feels like a little church business meeting. But it's important for us as a church to kind of know what's happening here and then our vision and dream for what we want to do into the next year as a church to keep the pedal on the metal when it comes to church planting. So every year we go extra. And so before I talk about 2026 and what we want to do, and you've been hearing some of that of what we want to do, I just want to celebrate what we did in 2025 and what God did. And so last year, our extra mile giving initiative was new spaces for new faces. And I love that because it rhymed. And this year it doesn't rhyme. Sorry, maybe you can come up with one. But so what we did is we attempted to raise, and here's the numbers that we attempted to raise at our Lyon campus and our Plymouth campus. And so the red is what we've brought in so far. So praise the Lord for people going extra and they're giving above their normal giving so that we could literally expand our church, because we've been growing and it's been exciting. We've been trying to do our best to be good stewards of having space for new people and people that are searching for Jesus to have a place to come at all ages. And so in our Lyon campus, we did a lot of work last year. And so this was the facility. This facility, just to give you just a framework, is big at this point, was as big as our kids' space upstairs, only 8,000 square feet, the whole church, okay? So we added on, so you'll see here, and this is so exciting. So we finished this. Last Sunday was the largest non-holiday service in the existence of our Lyon campus, which is crazy. And I've been getting texts today that they have no parking and they're trying to figure it out. And so it's amazing what God's doing there. And as you notice here, as we've been growing upstairs in here, trying to make room, we've knocked down part of the wall here, and there's a lot more that's going to happen. And maybe you're thinking, well, why didn't we get more work done here? Because we were focusing on construction out there. But I'm also glad because things grew in a different way than we thought here. And so this plan has changed like 2-3 different times. Also adding a whole other warehouse space across the hall. So we've had to rework some of our plans. But just to give you like a little bit of what what's going to be happening here in the next couple months. The rest of that wall will be knocked down, so the lobby will be a little bit shorter. We're adding a mom's room for little babies during service. If, you know, we don't want those crying babies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just kidding. So they can have a place to, for moms to, you know, have some distraction-free environment for them. We're also putting a sensory sensitivity room for folks with special needs that might need a space to kind of chill there for a bit. We're excited about that. Our Japanese space, we're moving our kids, our big kids, from upstairs. We're moving them downstairs into the auditorium that's behind us for Espanol. We're putting them down there. We're adding kids' city group rooms as well. And then in terms of having to move all of our production in the back there. So a lot of moving things happening. You're going to start seeing all that dust here soon. So thanks for your patience, but it's exciting. And so one of the things that I want to make clear when it comes to our extra mile, so this is 2025's numbers. What we raise for the vision I'm going to just explain to you, what we raise in 2026, if we don't make these numbers in 2025, we're not going to take the 2026 dollars that you contribute and fill it with 2025. We never do that. When we raise money for something specifically, we want it to always go there with integrity. And so the 2026 dollars will stay towards that vision. Now, if we don't make those numbers to build, to finish off our building stuff, because of God's grace and your continual generous giving, for the general fund of tithing, we have developed surplus that we can pay that off. Now, we don't want to dip into savings and surplus if we don't have to, but we can do that if we need to. But if you want to put your fingerprints on 2025 to say I was a part of helping build this space so that more people can come to Miles City, then please contribute to 2025. Here's our budget, just so you guys know, for last year's budget. Our budget last year to do what Miles City does, from Plymouth, Lyon, Japanese, and Spanish, was $1.9 million. And so what has come in so far to meet our budget is $1.6. And so right now, praise the Lord, we're 84% on track for meeting our budget. So when it comes to November and December, filling this out, we should meet our budget because of your continual giving to the general fund to help make this place run. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for being generous that we can help people move towards God right here in our locations. And so it's so exciting for that, okay? Now, here's the tension as we look into 2026 and our extra mile vision. This is a picture right here of where it all began. Some of you were there, where Miles City all began at Schoolcraft College. We were there, we launched in 2015, and from the very beginning of our church, we've always had this passion where that you know, we don't want to just start a movement, and we don't want to just like maintain a movement. We always want to be a church that multiplies the movement. And so this is a phrase, if you've been here a while, you've heard us say, to be known for our sending capacity, not just our seating capacity. We can't control how many people are going to keep coming here. But one of the strategies, instead of making this thing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, is to multiply it into other churches. Right now, because of the churches that we've planted, on average, there's around 5,000 people that are going to church because we've multiplied. How crazy is that? Instead of Miles City just becoming this big, big, big church, we've multiplied it in different areas all across our state so that more people could be having this experience. On average, our church averages 1,300 to 1,400 people. If we wouldn't have multiplied, I mean, think about what wouldn't have happened. And so it's so important that God calls us to multiply, and we want to keep being a church that multiplies, okay? And we've done that. From day one, we've been a church that plants churches. From day one, we had a church planter on our team that multiplied, a Grumlaw Church out in Grand Blanc and now Heartland, and they've multiplied since then. And many, many other churches. We're about to launch out of us our 10th church plant, who I'm going to introduce to you guys later today, which is exciting. But check this out. I had Selena Begley, our administrative director. I said, could you figure out in the last 10 years how much, it's hard because of all the stuff that we've given away, but in terms of like cash, recorded, how much have we given away to church planting? And here's the number that she was able to come up with. Over the last 10 years, we've given $1.8 million away to multiply for church planting because of your generosity. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing. Okay, we're 10 years old. All right, I got more wrinkles here on the forehead, getting a little gray here on the sides. Okay, as we get older, okay, we can start to drift and to make our focus be all about what's going on in here instead of about thinking about what's going on out there. And that's very, very dangerous. And as the pastor of this church and leadership of this church, we don't want to fall into that. We want to continually be a church that makes a dent in lostness, and we truly believe that that is through the vehicle of church planting, because we can't keep up with the population when it comes to church attendance. We can't keep up with it. Church attendance is declining, and we have to start new churches all across the globe and our nation and in our city so that people can keep hearing the name of Jesus, to keep planting churches for everyone, everywhere. And why do we do this? Why? Because Jesus told us to. After Jesus died, after he rose again, and he ascended up into heaven, before he ascended up into heaven, he told his buddies, his disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you all of the way when you do that. Praise the Lord for that. And so it's so important for us to do what Jesus told us to do as a church. It can't just be about us. We have to be thinking about them. And so if you turn to your Bible, to Romans chapter 15, I want you to go to verse 20. And again, I'm just going to kind of 30,000 foot this, okay? But here's what it says. It says, and thus, and this is Paul talking, and thus, I make it my ambition. This is his ambition, which should be our ambition, every Jesus follower's ambition. To preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, and then he quotes Isaiah 52, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Here's Paul writing to a group of people, some of them he knew from the past, but writing to a church, to an area that he has never been to, in hopes of that the gospel would come to them. And that was his mind, that was his framework. But it made me think even today, for some of you in this room, you've never heard it, or you've never been told it, or you've never been told the true gospel. You've been maybe told like a fake part of the gospel, or just parts of the gospel, not the whole thing. And so if you're here exploring faith, I know all this like church business stuff, you're like, what the heck, money, this, I get it. Just forget all that for a moment and just focus on this and then check out. This is the most important thing that you need to hear if you're exploring today. There is a God who created the heavens and the earth, and he decided to create you. Not as a robot, but as a real person with a choice to move towards his light or move towards his darkness. And guess what? You've went towards his darkness, and so have I. I've gone towards the enemy's darkness too. And because of that, we've got sin on us that we cannot erase on our own. And so for years, I tried to figure out how to erase it on my own. Fix this, earn that, try to get clean, because there's this conscience in us that we know this isn't right. And there's a discontentment inside of us. That is our sin problem. But in God's greatness and his kindness, he made a way. And that's why over 2,000 years ago, it literally happened. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, on this planet to live a perfect life, but not just to live a perfect life to show that he was God. Then he got on a cross willingly and was crucified on the cross. Why? To pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. And that's why he died on the cross, to take that penalty, because only God could pay the penalty. We can't. Only he can. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he was God and conquering death and sin once and for all. And then he made it so clear that all who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. You have to stop calling on your name to save yourself. You have to call upon the name of Jesus, and he says that he will save you. It tells us in Romans that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord, that he's the King, that you will be saved. And so the question is have you finally gotten over yourself to realize you can't do it? It's truly about surrendering, realizing I can't do it, but you can. And so if you've never been told that, or maybe you've been told that, but you've been running from that, then stop playing the game and just receive Jesus as your Savior today. And in fact, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Normally, I wait till the end, but let's just do it right now. And so I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes if you're watching online. If you've never heard this or you've been running from this truth, receive this truth today. Don't let your eternity hang in the balance. When we step into eternity, we all will step into eternity. It's whether we're going to step into perishing in hell apart from God or be in heaven with him forever. We all have an eternity ahead of us. Where are we spending it? If we put our faith in Jesus, we're guaranteed paradise and heaven with him, and your life truly starts today. And so if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to lead you through a prayer that's between you and him. Make it your own. If you already are saved, then I just want you to pray over this room with me, okay? So just repeat this. Just say, Father, I'm done trying to fix myself. Just say that. I'm done trying to earn it. I'm done. I don't understand it all, but today I recognize I'm a sinner. I know that. I can't deny that. I don't understand it all, but today I believe that you died for me and that you rose again for me. Just tell them that. Then just say, I don't understand it all, but I humble myself and I receive you, Jesus, to be the king of my life. Now, as we continue to pray, if you owned that for yourself, then the scripture, as I've already stated, is so clear that now you will no longer perish, but you'll have everlasting life, and nothing can take that from you. And so we praise God for your surrender, and we praise God for what he's now going to do in your life, because now he's given you the gift of the power of his Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for those who maybe put their faith in Jesus today. The best decision of your life. And listen, if you made that decision today, if you truly pray that prayer for the first time and you own that, then at the end of service, I'm going to be right there and I want to give you the best gift we could ever give you, and that's a copy of a scripture. And we want to give you a Bible, and I'm going to sign your name in it and the date that God forever changed your life and your eternity. Amen, amen, amen. So what just happened there is why we're doing this, because we want to see that multiplied over and over and over again, not just here, but in our nation and around the globe. This is what we're called to do as Jesus followers. Romans 10, we know this. Come on, what does it say? Romans 10, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard about? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Because if I've been saved, there you go, you didn't forget. If I've been saved, that's right. If you're a Jesus follower, we are all sent whether we like it or not. God is calling all of us to be a part of multiplying his kingdom and the ways that he's gifted us. Some of you might be future church planners and you don't even know it. You're like, don't look at me, Travis. Seriously. We've raised up church planners right out of our church, homegrown, send them out. Maybe you're not going to be the church planner, but maybe you're going to be on the team to plant the next one. Maybe you're going to help train others up. Maybe you're going to go in some other ways, or that's through your giving or whatever it is. We are all supposed to be a part of multiplying and making disciples. If I've been saved, then I've been sent. And so we're going to do that together. And I'm so excited of how we're going to go about this year and the vision that God has given us as a church. Here's the thing. We're going to do it globally. We're going to do it nationally. And we're going to do it locally. And so I want to unpack this a little bit for what we're going to be a part of as we do our extra mile above and beyond normal giving initiative. So globally, what we want to do is we want to continually be a part of our international mission board through our denomination that we've been a part of for the last 10 years. But we also want to be a part of this Timothy initiative. God collided me with the founder many months ago, and I've just been so overwhelmed by the work of the Timothy initiative. This group is literally planting churches in the unreached people groups where the gospel has never been heard. We are so saturated with the gospel in our areas, right? We have the opportunity to hear it, but they've never even had the opportunity to hear it at all. And this is where they go. Very dangerous places where they'll be killed or arrested for preaching the name of Jesus, for trying to convert. It's hard for me to get my brain to download into your brain of the capacity and the scale of what they're doing. So I want to show you this video. And my hope is that this will just open up your mind and heart to begin to see what we have the chance to be a part of, okay? So take a look at this video.
This is Dalia. Her people call themselves People of the Sands, having lived for generations in the harsh climate of the largest warm desert in the world. Dalia could walk for 40 miles east, west, north, or south, and still not come close to any local church. This is Amir. Born into a Muslim family, everyone Amir knows is Muslim. His friends are Muslim. His wife and kids are Muslim. Because of where he lives, it is extremely unlikely that Amir and his family will ever hear the name of Jesus. This is Ravi. Ravi is being raised by his parents to worship 10,000 Hindu gods. He will grow up believing he has to appease idols and offer sacrifices to fend off sickness and poverty. The 400-year-old tree at the entrance to Ravi's village has yet to witness a single follower of Jesus. This is Nafkot, a young animist living in Ethiopia. Like her parents and ancestors before her, Nafkot believes that evil spirits possess people and protection only comes by praying to animals or the dead. Nafkot doesn't know her future, but next year she'll contract tuberculosis and die, entering the agony of an eternity without Christ. This is Dawa. Although the first to become a monk, his family has been Buddhist since Buddhism came to their country 1400 years ago. None of his ancestors had the chance to hear about Christ, and that is no different for Dawa. He will live and he will die without knowing what happened on the cross for him. Dalia, Amir, Ravi, Nafkot, Dawa. These are just five of the billions of people living in unreached people groups. Over 7,000 total unreached people groups exist today. Abai Sungai, Abaza, Abdul, Abkaz, Abu Sharib. If we named every unreached people group at a rate of 1 per second, it would take us over 2 hours to name them all.
I've watched that probably a dozen times now, and every time, you know, it's really hard, right, to get our minds to understand how many people, I mean, 3.4 billion people, The founder said, David Nelm said, that's literally like taking 3.4 billion steps that would get you to walk around the equator 51 times. And there's that many people that have never heard about the name of Jesus. So here's what's happened. I mean, here's what they've been doing as they raise up Paul's to raise up Timothy's to plant churches. Since 2007, they've planted, and this has now changed since I made this slide, 229,176 churches in unreached people groups. In the areas, they've reached 1,677 of those 7,000 plus unreached people groups. That's where they're going. They're in places like Nigeria that we're hearing in the news right now, where Christians are being mass killed. They're there planting churches, risking their lives. They're there on the ground. Nigeria is one of those countries. It was fascinating. I got to go to a meeting a few weeks ago, and they brought in some of these church planters, and they were sharing their stories, which was just unbelievable. It was an honor to get to see and hear directly from some of these church planters. There was one that talked about there's this area in northwest India that they're at, and it's called Rajasthan. Forgive me for my pronunciation, Robin, you might need to help me later. Rajasthan. This came out in September, where that state in northwest India declared that if you are caught converting people, you will be put into prison for 15 to 20 years, no bond. This is their reality if they get caught. Can you imagine that reality for us? If we got caught sharing Jesus, that we could be put into prison for 15 to 20 years with no bond? This is the parts of the world that the Timothy Initiative is working in. And so here's the interesting thing about what they do, which is, I know this is fascinating. So go to the next one. $400 to plant a church in an unreached people group. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, right. Bull crap. I thought the same thing. But then as I dug more into what they're doing, this is literally what they're, it's actually legit. And what they'll say, the reason why we can do this for $400 based on all the churches that they're planting globally in 50 different countries, soon to expand into three more, Lord willing, in Japan that we get to be a part of, that's a side note, is they don't have to pay for seminaries to train up pastors. They don't have to pay for this, sanctuaries, and they're not paying for salaries. They don't want the church planters being dependent upon the Western world. And so the $400 is for all what that they're doing for to train up the Timothys and the Pauls for over 2 years to get them ready to plant a church. And that's where the dollars go towards. And so it's so fascinating. The other fascinating thing I saw was when I was at this Global Partners meeting, I was there with a couple pastors, but the majority of it were just really wealthy people that want to be good stewards of what God has given them. And I'm like, why did you pick this to be a part of? And they said, of all the different areas that we've been a part of to try to help be good stewards, because we feel that, you know, we're going to be judged for what God has given us, and we need to make sure that we steward it well before we leave this earth. They have the best reporting we've ever seen. Last year alone, they did over 39,000 site visitations to make sure that those numbers are real. It's fascinating what they're doing. And so just think about this for a moment. Like, if we actually made our goal of this year's extra mile and we raised $100,000 just globally, we as a church, Little Mile City, could plant 250 churches in unreached people groups and get reporting on that. That gets me jacked up. Now, check this out. I just found out last month that they have an anonymous donor that for every first, like, church that comes together to give towards this, they will match it. So 100 turns into 200. So we could plant 500 churches together as a church family. And that gets me really excited. And I hope that gets you excited, too. It's hard to get it all, but I just, you know, it's just so exciting. So that's global. Nationally, we want to keep planting churches through our strategic launch partnerships and our SEND network that we've been doing. And so nationally, with our strategic launch network, they've planted 90 churches in the last 10 years. You can go to the next one here. 90 churches in the last year. We were actually one of them. They go to specific cities in the hardest cities in America to plant churches in that are desperate for the gospel. And then our Send Network, since its existence 10 years ago, they've launched 11,178 churches. And notice Michigan, 68 churches in the last 10 years. And guess what? We've done 10 of them. How cool is that? And then we got 17 ready to rock in 2025, or that started in 2025. So exciting that we get to be a part of that nationally through our church planting there. And then locally, we want to continually raise up church planters to have church planters in residence to kind of to just keep training and build a team and people to be sent out to multiply Mile City in different ways. And so today, I'm so excited to, Lord willing, announce and show you to our English campuses our, Lord willing, 10th church plant that will be launched out of us. And so I want to welcome Louise and Priscilla on the stage right now. So come on up. Let's give them a hand. Look at that family. Look at that family. Look at those kiddos. Come on up, guys. Look at these guys. So these guys moved all the way from, come on out, Oscar. These guys moved all the way from Texas, left everything behind to come to Detroit. To plant a church. These guys are crazy. I mean, these guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. It's unbelievable. And you're crazy too, okay? So if you didn't know, there's 500,000 Hispanics in Michigan. Most of them in Metro Detroit. And before God put on our hearts and Pastor Oscar and Ruby's heart to come to Detroit to plant Mile City Espanol, there was only 4 churches, evangelical churches in the Detroit area that were reaching Spanish-speaking people. And out of those churches, it only made up about 200 people. And since then, now we have 5 churches because of Pastor Oscar and Ruby and what God's been doing right behind this wall. And they're reaching over 100 people already and what God has done in that church in such a short time. They've already multiplied once. Pastor Mark and his wife JC were in collaboration with a church called Resurrection Church in Lincoln Park, which, Lord willing, another Hispanic church will be launched. And now here we are with Priscilla and Louise as they look to plant another church in the Metro Detroit area. So why don't you just tell the Mile City family why you're so crazy and why you guys would move here? Like, what are you guys thinking?
Well, when we're praying to see where the Lord wants to send us, we're looking for 3 indicators. And the first one is to have an objective need, not only a felt need. And where we're from in Texas, if you grab a rock and you just toss it anywhere, you will hit a church. So don't do that. It will get you in trouble. But that's a reality. So we wanted to go to a place where more church planted needed to be done. And like Pastor said, there's over 500,000 of Hispanics here in Detroit. Just to give you a little context, who knows Mexican town? Raise your hand. Okay, right there, there's about 75,000 Hispanics living in a 10-minute radius from Mexican town that haven't been reached. And there's 125,000 Catholic Hispanics that need to know about the freedom of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is meaningful and is impactful, and we already see the fruit of it through the ministry of Oscar here in Miles City with 130-plus people. Not only that, we're reaching different people groups, because it's not only when we see the word Hispanic, it's actually more dynamic than that. In the congregation, there's people from Guatemala, from Cuba, from Venezuela, from Mexico, and we can go on. So what you're doing with this Extra Mile initiative is actually impactful. Second, having peace. So we felt there was peace coming to Michigan. And third, and most importantly, we wanted to be received by a church that had church planting and multiplication in its heart. So we're grateful to know that Mile City is helping us. And Pastor, thank you. I want to honor you for your leadership and for allowing us to be part of expanding the kingdom.
And thank you for having us here today. Just want to say, please keep us in your prayers. Keep Oscar, Ruby, all the pastors or all the churches that you are already supporting, please keep them in your list of prayers. Text them if you can and let them know that you're praying for them. And keep praying for the future planters that are coming on the way.
Amen. Well, let's pray for them right now. I'm actually going to have Oscar. Why don't you pray in Spanish for them? If you know Spanish, then you'll know what's going on. If not, you just pray for protection over this couple as they begin this journey. They're not here to be comfortable. They didn't just come here to hang out. They came here to multiply. And so let's just pray over them, Pastor Oscar.
All right, church, let's pray. Padre amado, te damos gracias, Señor, por este momento, Padre, de poder recibir, Señor, a la familia Sánchez. Poder recibir, Padre, a Luis y Priscila y poder poner en tus manos, Señor, lo que vas a hacer este próximo 2026, Señor, por medio de su obediencia. Gracias, Padre, por la iglesia Mile City. Gracias por nuestro liderazgo, Señor, Pastor Travis, su esposa Jen, Barry y por cada uno de los que están aquí, Señor. Gracias por esta congregación porque juntos hacemos la diferencia. Te damos gracias en el nombre de Jesús. And everybody, we can say amen.
Thanks, guys. Let's give it up one more time for these guys. Thank you. So cool. In the future, you get to hear more from Pastor Louise in the coming months, but so excited to have them here. So that's our vision. That's our goal, guys. But it's going to take an extra mile attitude and our generosity for us to do such a big vision as a church family. If you go to verse 22, we'll continue reading in Romans 15. Notice what this says, and this is going to give us a perspective of what was taking place in the early church and what they did to help multiply. It says this: "This is the season why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contributions for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in their material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered them to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you." And so what we're seeing is that even then, that those that had received Jesus and received that spiritual blessing, they were called to give of their material blessings to help multiply and expand the kingdom, to expand the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But also I want you to notice the word that was said a couple times, pleased. They were pleased to do it. Not forced, not guilted, but literally pleased, cheerful, sacrificial, as they gave to multiply the kingdom because of what God had multiplied already in their hearts. And so for our extra mile vision, our hope is that, man, wouldn't it be amazing? You know, you think about all the years that we've done extra mile. Like, here's a slide of what we've done through the last few years of extra mile. What if? You know, you think about what we've done already as a church, all glory to God, with a little group of people, with a little bit of resources, with open-handed, generous faith, and look what God has done. Now, here we are, 10, with a lot more people, with a lot more resources. What if we raised our largest extra mile offering and our goal surpassed the largest extra mile offering we've ever received, and we just gave it all away? We didn't keep any here. We gave it all away towards church planting, and we watched God multiply it and show off like ways that only he could do. In order to do that, it's going to take every single one of us. There's no gift that's too big or too small. I know sometimes when we think about going above our normal tithing and giving, it's like, okay, well, I don't really have anything extra. So some people have sold different items and done different things. Sometimes I know when I think about my own life, I think about my extra because of stocks and things that have happened. We got to get creative in that way. We also say this line all the time: saying no to something you love for a season to say yes to something that you love even more. And what could we love more than watching the kingdom expand? And so that's like, okay, I'm going to say no to this thing that I love and keep track of that so that I can multiply that in ways that only God could multiply it. And so that's our hope, and that's our heart. I also know that this is an extra mile season is always a kind of a ramp for people that maybe never give. And maybe you've never trusted God in your finances to give a tithe to him that God calls us to. And sometimes when I give a talk like this, I wish I wasn't the pastor. I just wish I was a member of the church to get up here. Because I know sometimes it's like, here's the pastor trying to shake us down for money. And I just hope you can get into my heart that I really, it's not like we want something from you. It's truly, we want something for you. And that's a clever statement too, but it's true. The freedom and the blessing that comes when we give God every area of our life. Thank God that my parents taught me as a young boy when I started giving when I was 8 years old. I can remember it. And the blessing of trusting God in every area of our lives to understand that we're stewards. Everything we have is from him, and we'll be held accountable to it. And so he calls us to invest and to multiply his kingdom. And so what does that look like for you? To not just tip God once in a while, but to test God with your finances. Say, okay, God, you call me to give every area, and so I'm going to trust you with this. Extra mile is a good way to start that journey. And so it's going to take all of us. It's interesting when I think about our family. We sit down as a family every year and we talk about extra mile. If you're not coming alone, I really think it's important to do it with your family, to make these goals with your spouse, to make these goals with your kids, get the kids involved. And this year is really fun because we're like, all right, how many churches do we want to plant as a Whitaker family, a part of our big Mile City family? And they're like, wow, like we could plant. I mean, Dad, we could plant 10 churches maybe, and them thinking through what they're going to give up so that they can be a part of it or what they're going to take out. I mean, it's so important. So I just encourage you, let the family be involved. It's a family affair, but it's interesting to think like $400, one church. That's nuts. $4,000, 10 churches. Some of you, it's 40,000. You plant 100 churches. Who knows what God could do through all of us. And so may we be sacrificial and pleased to do it, not out of guilt, but out of honor that we get the chance to multiply God's kingdom to the ends of the earth, to give it all away, to be focused on the there, not just on the here. I want to close with this story. Have you guys ever heard of this coffee company? Phil's? I figured maybe not. You're only going to find it in California or Chicago. And for all you coffee snobs, I'm one, this place, it's all pour over. Okay? So everything is pour over coffee. Hot, cold, they're amazing. And they have this one drink called the Iced Mint Mojito. Whew, takes you to another world, okay? It's amazing. So we were in Chicago this year. I first had it in California years ago. And then we were in Chicago as a family. And I introduced it to my daughters, and they just loved it. Lena and London just loved it. They were so excited about it. So a couple weeks ago, I had to go out to California on a trip, and Jen was with me, and of course, there was a Phil's. And I was like, we got to go to Phil's. So we got to Phil's, and we get the drink, and we're sitting down and just like enjoying it, and it's like, this is so good. And then there was like this part of me that felt guilty because Lena and London couldn't experience it with me. And I was like, I know it's just a coffee drink, but I'm like, man, I do kind of feel bad because they love it so much. And I started thinking, is there a way that I could get them Phil's? But, you know, we got to fly back. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, I can't take liquid. And, you know, I can keep your shoes on now, but I can't take liquid through, you know. But then I remembered, wait a second, Jen's with me. And of course, she had to check a bag, which drives me nuts. But we checked the bag. So I'm like, wait, I can put the liquid in the checked bag. So I start processing strategically. Okay, wait a second. So we leave Phil's, and I go to the convenience store, and I buy one of those, like, Yeti things, bring it back to Phil's. It's like, all right, I need you to fill this sucker up. No ice, though, because I don't want to get it watered down. No mint leaves, put them on the side because we don't want to get them crinkled. I got it all planned out. And we get to the airport, which was, if you had a video camera of me, you know when your bag's oversized? I'm not a first class guy, okay? So sorry, like, I mean, I'm literally like, they're literally, you have to get it within this like 50 pounds, Well, because of the liquid and the Yeti thing was so, I guess, like taking the thing and there's people behind me and I'm like pulling out jeans and like hair dryer, you know, the whole thing. And it's like, no, sir, it's you need 2 more pounds. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, if not, you get charged $100. I'm like, I'm paying $100 just for 2 pounds. So anyways, chaos, finally get it set. And then Jen and I have like all these like extra things. It was kind of inconvenient, but I wanted to get my daughters that cup of coffee. So we get home late that night and we sit down with them and tell them about the trip. And I'm like, you guys are going to be mad at me, but your dad had Phil's. They're like, no way, Dad. I'm like, yeah, yeah. So they go up to their rooms and I unpack the suitcase. I'm all excited. Undo it. I even got the cups, you know. And I get this thing all set. And I go up into their room and I'm like, hey, shut your eyes, open up your hands. They're like, no, Dad. I'm like, no, you got to do it. They're like, you have a spider. I'm like, no, I don't have a spider. Kind of tease my kids a little too much, probably. All right. So I put this cup of Phil's in their hands. And if you should have seen their smiles, they were so excited to get that cup of coffee that traveled, I did the math, 2,268 miles. I said, girls, you're the only two girls on the planet that have a Phil's cup of coffee tonight in Michigan that traveled 2,268 miles. How crazy is that? They're like, unbelievable. We got so excited that we called Phil's in California, and they were all excited. They're like on the speaker, you got to be kidding me. The kid, I was just like so stupid. Anyways, you're like, why are you telling us this story? I'm telling you this story because, yes, if you could have seen the look on my daughter's faces for a stupid cup of coffee. I put a lot of strategy and time and inconvenience and thought to get it there. But to think of how we have the opportunity as a church family to get way more than a dumb cup of coffee in the hands of someone. We have the opportunity to bring the hope of Jesus, not into someone's hands. Well, with the word, yeah. But we have the opportunity to get it in their minds and to get it in their hearts. But we got to be strategic. There's going to be some inconvenience. And we can let that gospel travel all over the globe. And so what does that look like for you? What does that look like for our church family to collectively go all in for church planting? And so if you wouldn't mind, I just want you to grab this. This is our commitment Sunday. And so if you grab this card right now, and I just want you to take some time. We're going to give you a few minutes alone, if you're alone or if with your family, to just think about, okay, what does it mean for us to go the extra mile this season to help get the gospel all over the globe? You can do a one-time gift or you can do it weekly, monthly, throughout the year. What does it mean from now until next year for me to give a little extra this month or this week? What does that look like for you? To say yes, to say no to something for a season, to say yes to something you love even more. And then I just want us to like pray over that. And so let's just take a few moments. I'm just going to have Matt's going to play for 3 or 4 minutes and just take some time. What does that mean for you to be sacrificial in this gift? And then just continually pray about that. We'll make our commitments and then we'll continue. So let's bring this offering to the Lord right now.